Hey guys, welcome back to Sell and Tell Podcast. We're going to be here today to talk about the first quarter of 2025 mortgage insights. But first, we have our listing of the week with my new co-host, Cindy. So take it away, Cindy.
Great. This week's featured listing comes to us from Carol Stack at RE/MAX DFW Associates. It is going to be 1918 Huron, that is MLS number 208-27003, and it's located in Rockwall. It's built in 2007. It's 2504 square feet and priced right under $500,000 at $499,900. It is three bedrooms, two and a half baths, two living rooms, two car garage. And as I said, it features three spacious bedrooms. It's got a huge oversized primary with lake views on the balcony that it has, and jet tub, separate shower, dual vanities, huge walk-in closet, beautiful kitchen with double ovens, cooktop, microwave, and great walk-in pantry. It's very close to the marina. It's within walking distance of the lake. So it's really stunning views as well from the second story. The community itself has a great pool, golf course, playground, basketball courts, tennis courts, pickleball courts. So if you're into pickleball, this is the place. It's got great views everywhere there. And again, comes to us from Carol Stack at RE/MAX DFW Associates, MLS number 208-27003. And if you're interested, you can contact Carol at 214-616-9659 or at stackandsold.com.
Awesome. So, well, let's dive right in. And I want to welcome Lance Wilmore. Go right ahead, Lance, and introduce yourself and give us a little background on you.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, Jessica. Thanks for having me. So I'm a mortgage broker, Lance Wilmore, and I have been in the mortgage industry what seems like forever now. Started in this business in 2005, doing what's called subprime lending, kind of when that was a thing back then. But I've served in a few different capacities in the financial services industry, mostly though in the mortgage space and commercial lending space. So now I am the owner, co-owner of a brokerage called Envision Home Lending. We're based in the Frisco, Texas market. And you can find me online with Envision Home Lending or Home Loans with Lance. But I'd be remiss to mention that I am to not mention that I'm a father of two. I have two great kids, a 13-year-old daughter, 11-year-old son, and I am happily married for about 18 years now. So juggling a career, marriage, and kids can definitely be a lot, but I wouldn't trade it for the world, for sure.
Oh gosh, I can't even imagine during COVID too, constantly.
Oh my goodness, yeah, that was a whole thing in itself. I'm glad that period of time is over with, but that tested our limits for sure.
Oh yeah. Well, I want to speak to our listeners, mostly agents out there. And first, with new agents, I'd love to hear your perspective on when they're talking to their clients and as a new agent. Not all new agents really know the ins and outs of each type of mortgage opportunity. So what would you suggest on how they should approach that with the differences between all of the different loans?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's really important that agents understand that the right alliances are important. And what I mean by that is where they get their referrals from, first and foremost, right? And having kind of, having the ability to identify where quality referrals can come from. That's one thing. But also when it comes down to loan types, I would highly recommend agents partner with a mortgage broker and not just a bank or a direct lender. The reason why a mortgage broker is important is because a mortgage broker, and I am a mortgage broker by the way, but the reason why a mortgage broker is important is because a mortgage broker does not work for the lender. The mortgage broker actually works for the customer, the buyer, right? And so with that being said, we have alliances with multiple lenders that we are able to identify the right program for each client, not just based on what one bank can provide, but what all the markets or all of the banks can provide to that customer. So even if it doesn't fit one bank's portfolio or, you know, cookie cutter box, then we can look and find multiple other lenders that that customer could potentially work with. So for example, there are some great programs. What I see a lot of is entrepreneurs needing a mortgage, right? And so entrepreneurs have unique income situations in some cases, right? And so to be able to work with a mortgage broker pretty much guarantees that a mortgage broker will be able to find the right program. There are often times when a bank tells an entrepreneur, no, I'm sorry, we can't help you based on how you're filing your taxes or, you know, how you're structuring your income, whereas a mortgage broker can find a solution. So to answer that question, especially for new agents, it's important to set up alliances with mortgage brokers specifically.
Okay. So that's actually a good point. I love the fact that, you know, when you kind of work with some of these lenders, they only have X, Y, and Z to choose from, whereas you have so many other different opportunities that can work.
Yes.
What do you think about the current market and what the mortgage, everybody's, you know, blowing up about, oh, the gosh, the rate's so high, but historically, we've seen much higher.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think it's a matter of perspective. Right. And how far you're actually looking back to be able to determine what's considered a high rate and what's not. Now, most people use the benchmark of COVID, right? When 2020 hit, 2021, rates were extremely low, right? That was like a once in a lifetime type thing. And what I tell people all the time is that interest rates are only that low when there's a significant problem in the economy. So truly, we don't want rates to be that low because that means something else is going on that's probably detrimental to our health or well-being, right? And so specifically, when you look back at COVID, that was really the tipping point of what made interest rates fall, right? So when people talk about rates being high, I always give them some perspective, right? Now, I'm a 90s kid. I mean, I was born in the mid-80s, but when my parents were, renting or owning homes back then, I look at what rates were doing back then. So I kind of look at a historical kind of trend or map. And so right now I'm looking at something that tells me back in, let's just say 1990, the average interest rate was 10%. Before that, in the mid 80s, the average interest rate was about 15 to 17%, right? Okay. And so that tells you that where we are now, when we're averaging mid sixes, low sevens, we're nowhere near as high as where things were at one point in time, right? So it's a matter of perspective for sure. But also it's important to just educate our buyers to help them understand it's not just about the interest rate. Obviously, that has an impact on the mortgage payment, but let's help you with the underlying issue here, which is your payment. Right? What is it that you want on your mortgage payment? Let's look at your budget holistically to make sure we can make it make sense there. Because when you're writing that check once a month, you're not writing a check to the mortgage company putting the interest rate in the money section. You're putting the actual dollar amount that the mortgage payment is, right? So that's why it's really important. So when someone wants to be pre-approved for a home, oftentimes I get the question, Jessica, hey, what's the max I can qualify for? And I usually tell people that is not the right question to ask, because just because you can qualify for a certain dollar amount doesn't necessarily mean that fits with your ideal budget. So let's kind of take a step back. Let's look at this holistically to determine, based on your budget, what would you like your payment to be? How much money are you comfortable bringing to the closing table? And let's strategize around that so your realtor and I can come up with a price point and strategy to make sure that you're comfortable with your mortgage payment. And look, interest rates are going to be interest rates. They're going to go up and come down. What is considered normal, a non-inflationary or, you know, stable economy, would be interest rates probably in the mid fives. So we're not very far from that right now. And in fact, as a broker, I have access to those rates even in this economy. So again, that's another reason why it's important to kind of move away from the big banks. And truly, mortgage brokers are growing their market share by leaps and bounds right now simply because of the diversity in programs that we have and the lower interest rates that are many times lower than the market rate as well.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of first-time home buyers, for agents that have a lot of those, which we actually spoke about last week, working with first-time home buyers, what are some of the challenges with them, especially, you know, going into for the first time you're owning a home, you don't always know what you're getting into. So exactly what you're saying, you know, don't just because I say you can afford a $500,000 house doesn't mean you should buy a $500,000 house. But what are some of the other challenges that an agent can face with a first time home buyer that they can you can kind of overcome and make them feel a little bit at ease?
Yeah, I think what's important for agents and even mortgage brokers together is to have a formulate a plan to help their buyers, right? Sometimes the process can appear disjointed when the mortgage broker and the agent is not working together, but it's important to work together to understand the needs of that first-time home buyer. And so oftentimes the challenges lie in setting proper expectations for that first-time home buyer. Sometimes we have people who've been maybe renting for years and years, and they come to us and they say, well, I don't want my mortgage payment to be any more than what my rent has been. And maybe their rent is $1,600, $1,700 for a small apartment. Well, that's a bit of a challenge when you're transitioning from an apartment, maybe moving into a 3 or 4 bedroom home, right? The price can be a little bit higher. The monthly payment can be a little bit higher as well. So sometimes it's important to set the proper expectations for that first-time home buyer. Oftentimes that's a challenge. Another challenge can be just making sure the home buyer understands what expenses go along with buying a house, especially through the home buying process. Things like appraisal, inspection, earnest money, right? Even if there's a termite inspection needed or a survey needed, right? There are some expenses that we have to make the first-time home buyer aware of going into the house. And then also what's important is making sure that the realtor sets proper expectations for that home buyer from not just a short-term perspective when getting into the home, but from a long-term perspective. And truly, this is what sets the realtor apart from the pack, because when a realtor truly has the first-time home buyer's best interest in mind, they're able to set proper expectations long-term as well. Explaining why a home warranty is necessary. Explaining why having maybe some additional funds set aside for maintenance costs are also necessary. So those are some of the things that we wanted to help the first-time home buyer overcome going into this process.
What are you seeing as most people's averages or like down payment? What does that look like? Are people having large down payments so that they can avoid higher rates, or do you really see a big difference?
Yeah, and so that's a good question. And sometimes that's even one of the challenges. One of the challenges in some cases, especially with a first-time home buyer or someone who hasn't had the opportunity to really put aside a lot of money for a down payment, sometimes that's a significant obstacle with getting into a home. But that's another reason why it's important to work with a mortgage broker, because as a mortgage broker, we're able to find programs such as down payment assistance that can help a person with that significant obstacle with getting into their home. But to answer your question, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get a much better interest rate just because you put a lot of money down. You know, one of the common myths out there that people assume is that, well, I need to have 20% down just to buy a house, or 10% down just to buy a house. When the truth of the matter is, there are programs that will assist with your down payment and maybe even cover that entire amount for you. Or there are programs that require very little money down, especially for our veterans. I always advocate for our veterans because that's a very important component in our society. But the veterans that have served and, you know, in our military, they are actually able to purchase a home without a down payment, 0% down using a VA loan, which is a huge benefit of being a veteran in the United States. And so that's another thing that we always point out. And that's a question that we ask our first time home buyers or even just home buyers in general. Hey, have you served in the military? Are you maybe a surviving spouse of someone who served in the military as well? Because those benefits can be extended to those folks as well. So with the down payment, that's usually one of the challenges. But, you know, I have people who put as little as 3% down or as much as, you know, 20% down. It doesn't always equal a better interest rate, though. We still have to look at some other factors, such as credit score, such as the type of loan that we're doing, whether it's FHA or conventional. So there are different factors that determine a person's interest rate. And one last thing I'll say on that, when we're kind of looking at challenges compared to money down and all of that, there are two components that are necessary to think about when coming into a mortgage transaction or buying a house. There's closing costs and there's down payment. So those are two different things. Generally, your closing costs can range anywhere from about 2.5% to 3.5% of the price of the home on top of the 3% or 3.5% down payment. So those are things that we have to consider going into this. That is another reason why it's critically important that the real estate agent and mortgage broker have a strong alliance, because we can strategize around this to even have the seller cover some of those closing costs for our buyer. So that's really important as we help our buyers into a home, especially for the first time.
I think that's a really important note, because that was something that, you know, with home builders, they do advertise a lot that if you use our lender, we'll cover your closing costs.
Yeah.
And many people don't know that if you speak to your agent and they speak to the agent that has listed the house, they will have a conversation with the buyers and the lenders and everything, and they'll see what they can do on those closing costs as well. So that leads me kind of into, what is your perspective on using a mortgage broker like yourself and almost being convinced that you need to use the builder lender instead because you get all these incentives thrown at
you? Oh yeah, that's a good point. And so in some cases, some builders are flexible and they are what we call mortgage friendly in our industry. They will actually allow a buyer to use any lender that they want and still provide those incentives. Where others, especially some of the larger ones in the United States, they are very exclusive and they'll say, nope, you know what? You cannot use any other lender if you want these incentives that we're offering. And that's just what it is. And so sometimes when I talk to those clients, I'll say, hey, you know, this is a great deal that this builder is giving you. Go ahead and take it. But at least I'll be that second set of eyes for them to at least review the deal and make sure that they are getting a great opportunity to buy a home with very little money out of pocket. But you made a great point, Jessica, because just like those new construction neighborhoods are doing that, that can happen on resales as well. You know, we have certain loan types, especially FHA, that will allow a seller to pay even up to 6% of the purchase price for closing costs, which is huge. Wow. Right? That gives the person a lot of money towards buying down an interest rate, paying all the closing costs, and all of those things, right? So there are programs even outside of builders that when your real estate agent and mortgage broker talk about the transaction and strategize going into it, we've helped many people, hundreds of people, purchase a home without much money out of pocket by going forward with the right strategy with the real estate agent to pay those closing costs or have those closing costs paid by the seller.
That's quite a bit. 6% is a lot.
Oh, that's huge. Yeah, that's a lot of money. And so FHA allows that. And so even with conventional loans, you know, 3% when you're putting down a small, you know, a low down payment, the seller can even cover 3%, which essentially could be all of the closing costs, which would leave you only with the down payment left to pay. So it's a huge opportunity, whether it's new construction or resales, especially in today's market, as houses sit a little longer on the market, you know, the average days are about 56 to 70 days on average. Those sellers may be a little more prone to pay your closing costs. They may be a little bit more inclined to pay your closing costs because they're a little more anxious to sell that house and incentivize a buyer to do that.
Yeah. You know, from personal experience, we kind of ran into that. And that was the first time that someone was like, we really got to be out as soon as possible or else we don't get our home on the other side of our contract here.
That's right.
We'll give you closing costs.
Right. Yeah. And they'll do it. They'll definitely.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, with COVID giving 2% and 3% throughout the COVID years, I can't imagine there's so many people refinancing out there. Are there many people refinancing? Do you get a lot of options, or what kind of strategies do you use to approach that?
Yeah, absolutely. And people are refinancing. And so this is where my experience as just a financial professional comes in, not just a mortgage broker. Because I've served in many different capacities in the industry, we take a holistic view of a person's finances. So if a person is paying, a 2% interest rate, but they're carrying multiple credit cards, which credit cards debt is at an all-time high in our economy right now. It's literally one of the plagues that are kind of prevalent in our economy, where the average person has over $7,000 or $8,000 in credit card debt, and some people even way higher, right? And so with that, the average credit card interest rate can be anywhere from 18% to 25% right now. So that's truly where we're seeing high interest rates, not just on mortgages, but on that unsecured debt, that credit card debt, things like that. And so when you take a holistic point of view on someone's finances, sure, you might have a 2% interest rate on your mortgage, but are you paying 20% on a $12,000 credit card, right? Are you paying 18% on a $10,000 credit card? And many times the answer is yes. And so because equity is at an all-time high right now, property values are much higher than they have been in the past, people can actually leverage that equity by doing what's called a debt consolidation through a cash out refinance. It's literally a life-changing type loan, because if I'm able to relieve a person from paying $1,500, $1,600, $1,700 a month in credit card debt, consolidating that into their mortgage and maybe lowering their overall expenses by over $1,000+ a month, I mean, we're talking about something that literally changes your financial trajectory in your household, right? And so that's why it's really important to look at a person's holistic financial situation and not just the mortgage. Whereas someone who's maybe not as experienced in the mortgage industry, or who doesn't really have a very strong financial background, may not truly understand the benefits of that. So to answer your question, absolutely people are refinancing these days, especially as we go into the higher credit card debt and higher interest rates on those credit cards. And other people that are refinancing are investors. People who own property, they may have certain types of loans that are known as balloon mortgages, or those who may not be investors who have what's called an adjustable rate mortgage. There's a record number of adjustable rate mortgages that are coming due, where people need to refinance into a traditional fixed rate loan. And so those things are happening right now as we speak as well. So yes, absolutely, people are still refinancing their mortgages, especially in those situations.
Wow. I actually wouldn't have expected that at all. So I guess whenever we're talking about credit scores, are a lot of people finding it hard to, I know we talked about first-time home buyers, when they're refinancing, are they finding it hard because of this credit card debt to have a good credit score enabling them to refinance or buy a secondary property, if that?
Yeah, and sometimes the credit score is a challenge. Now, I will tell you, when you're purchasing a home, you don't have to have excellent credit. When you're refinancing a home, you don't have to have excellent credit. Now, obviously, we encourage everyone to have the highest possible credit score. We want the best for everyone. But just because you may have a credit score in the low 600s or even high 500s, doesn't mean that you cannot buy a house. There are programs out there, specifically government-backed programs like FHA, that will allow a person to purchase a home with a 580 credit score, 3.5% down, and still get a fantastic interest rate on that mortgage. So those are some great opportunities. And talking about government-backed loans, specifically Veterans Administration loans or VA loans, VA has no minimum credit score. You can literally have a very low credit score and still purchase a home if you're a veteran. So these are some of the things that banks may not support so much, because they have a lot of rules that kind of overlay the actual rules and they make their own rules. This is why it's important to talk with a mortgage broker who's able to really get to the bottom of it and work directly with lenders without a lot of those overlays and help a person accomplish the goal of purchasing or refinancing their mortgage.
Okay, so there are some workarounds for this kind of thing. Oh, for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And then the other thing that can affect mortgage affordability that I want to touch on, just because in personal experience, we live in one of the highest property tax areas in DFW. So how do you see that affecting affordability and being able to get these loans? Because I personally almost had a heart attack this year when I saw
it. Yeah, that bill was no joke when I got it back a few months ago. But I will tell you, there are two things that impact affordability, property tax being one of them. But there are some things on the table right now down in Austin that they're looking at to potentially lower property tax bills using a more aggressive homestead exemption. So that's something that we should see coming down the pike here pretty soon. We're hopeful that that legislation is passed to give homeowners some relief there. But also, when it comes down to affordability, homeowners insurance is really one of those things that can affect affordability as well. And so I encourage anyone who either owns a home or who's thinking about buying a home to shop around for homeowners insurance. There are some really big name companies out there. You may see them on TV commercials and all of that, which is all fun and fine, but sometimes they have to pay for those TV commercials, and that means higher premiums for you, right? They have huge buildings and staff, and their name is on stadiums, right? But that costs you money. So I would highly recommend partnering with an insurance broker, which is a person who doesn't work for one of those companies, but has access to multiple companies who could potentially get you better insurance pricing. And I'd say this to homeowners as well, at least once a year, every time your renewal period comes, shop around for insurance. Don't stick with that same company just out of loyalty, but find what's best for your budget, for your family, and obviously get the best coverage for yourself as well. But oftentimes you'll notice that when renewal time comes, that's when your policy premium increases, and probably it's time to start shopping around to make sure that you're doing the best thing for your family's budget.
Absolutely. So let's talk about market predictions, because halfway through Q1, what do you think we're looking at for the rest of the year? Because I know we don't have a crystal ball, but you can take a shot at it.
Yeah, for sure. And so when we talk about predictions, it's usually twofold in the housing market. There's interest rate predictions. It's a few pieces or factors to it. Interest rate predictions, housing affordability predictions, and overall just this availability predictions as well, right? Are more houses going to come to the market? And so with that being said, sometimes based on interest rates being slightly elevated, that kind of slows the availability a little bit because people are a little more reluctant to move out of maybe a low interest rate and buy another house or upgrade, things like that. But what's so great about the Dallas-Fort Worth area specifically is that in Dallas-Fort Worth, we have still a very strong economy. And when we look at the overall picture, wages are actually up. Employment is really, or unemployment is at a very low rate as well, which is a positive thing. So considering those factors, people are still moving into the Dallas-Fort Worth area at a very high pitch. And so we assume that it will continue to be a healthy housing market. Now, prices are down slightly, probably about 0.5% or so. The average days on the market is a little bit longer. We're looking at average days of about 56 to 70 days on average. But I have friends in the market right now who list a house today and have it sold by next week. There are still some of those cases out there, right? And so it's a crapshoot in some cases, depending on when you list your house or even who you list your house with. So finding the right agent is important. But overall predictions, you know, I would say that the Dallas-Fort Worth market will continue to be strong as far as the housing market. And we'll also see probably as we creep into the spring and summer, more inventory come onto the market, which will allow some buyers to get into some houses maybe that they've been eyeing online or just considering buying. But I always say, just be ready, get that loan pre-approval with me as a mortgage broker, strategize with your real estate agent so that we can be prepared once the summertime or springtime comes and people start to make some moves.
Absolutely. Do you see any new trends in the mortgage products or any rise of non-traditional lending options?
Absolutely. More favorable? Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And so one thing that we're seeing kind of come back is actually the 40-year mortgage, which is really interesting. So some people are taking advantage of longer term loans to help with affordability. Obviously, the longer you have to pay, the lower your monthly payment may be. So that's something that's kind of creeping in as well. But other things that are creeping in, especially, are non-traditional loans, what we call in our industry non-QM loans. These are loans that allow entrepreneurs to purchase homes easier using what's called bank statement loans. Whereas, you know, many entrepreneurs, they write off a lot of their expenses, right? You may make, you know, $80,000, $100,000 a year as an entrepreneur, but your tax returns may only show that you made $20,000 or $10,000 because you wrote everything off. You're trying not to have a significant tax liability, which is totally understandable. Well, if you go to a bank with that tax return, they will turn you away very quickly. They'll say, you know what, Jessica, sorry, you can't buy a house right now, unfortunately, because you wrote off all of your expenses. Mm-hmm. That's where we come in as mortgage brokers with creative products such as bank statement loans. We say, you know what, don't even worry about bringing us your bank statement. Let's just take a look at you. I'm sorry, don't give us your tax return. Let's take a look at your bank statement, right? And so we take a look at that bank statement. We look at the deposits on that bank statement to determine what your true income actually is. And that way we can offer some solutions to you. There are also some very creative products for investors who want to purchase real estate as well. Whereas we only make sure that the rent that you can potentially get from that property will cover the mortgage payment and you can qualify for that mortgage. So there are some absolutely creative products that we as mortgage brokers have access to, and those are definitely on the rise. You know, when we first started out, I mentioned that the market share for mortgage brokers is growing and the market share for banks is actually shrinking. It is less popular to go to a big bank, you know, the big three, I don't have to name them, but the big banks, it's less popular to go to them to find a mortgage solution and far more popular to go to a mortgage broker because of the access to low interest rates and creative products that we have. And before you know it, I would not be surprised that some banks just completely get out of the mortgage industry. And I'll name one that actually did this within the last few years, Capital One. Capital One was doing mortgages and they literally decided, you know what, our market share is shrinking, we're losing money on this, we're totally out of the mortgage industry. And so that is going to happen more and more, where mortgage brokers, our access and our influence is growing significantly because we put the customer first, where we don't work for banks, we work for the customer. And that's why we add value to our clients and our real estate agent partners.
So that's interesting then. If you are someone that has a loan, or your clients have a loan that is with one of these banks that decides to leave the mortgage industry, is there any concern for what happens to your loan? Does anything change, or does it just transfer over and you just get a different piece of paper and a different website to go to?
That's typically it. Usually the servicing aspect of it doesn't change. They'll still service your mortgage. You can still make payments to them, or they'll just transfer, as you mentioned, they'll just transfer the servicing to somewhere else. But what they stop doing is originating new loan applications. They'll completely stop doing that, but maybe still service the loans that they have and keep them on their books.
Okay. All right. So no scares there yet.
No scares there. No scares. Yeah.
Okay, so to wrap us up, I have a quick question. We all know the no-no is don't buy an F-250 before you're about to close on a home. Is there any other huge mistakes that you see, any horror stories that you want to share and concerns out there that you want to talk about?
I would warn people to not plan a vacation in the middle of the home buying process, for one. All right, I had a client a couple months ago who she decided she wanted to buy a house. And so we went under contract. But in the middle of that, she had already had a trip to London planned. And she ended up in London for 2 weeks during the escrow process. And her phone service was very spotty. She wasn't able to really connect with us how she needed to. So it delayed the closing, right? So I would always warn people, hey, like you mentioned, don't buy that new Mercedes or that new F-250 in the middle of the home buying process. Don't go on an international trip specifically, right? Now, if you're just going to, you know, you're just going to Oklahoma and you're going to enjoy some mountains and forests for a little while, hey, that's fine, right? But don't go international, please. Don't go on a cruise, all right? But also, one of the big things that we're seeing a rise of that we want people to be very careful about is Klarna and Afterpay. So as you might notice, when you go to different websites, different merchants, and you want to buy something, like, so for example, my wife and I, we bought a new mattress recently, right? Mm-hmm. And so when it was time to check out, I'm putting my credit card information in, and then I get this pop-up that says, hey, you know, use Klarna. You can buy it, no interest, and just make payments on it. Well, you know, I still use my credit card. But what I find interesting is that that's starting to come up more and more in the home buying process. And sometimes those things don't even show on your credit report. So the underwriter, we may approve your loan and get you all the way through the process. And then you provide a bank statement that shows a $500 Klarna payment. And we're like, hey, you know, Jessica, what's this on your bank statement? I noticed this the last 2 months you were paying Klarna $500. Tell me more about this. And then you tell me, well, Lance, you know, I did buy that new TV using Klarna and I have to pay them $500 a month for the next 7 months or something. And I'm like, well, now we have to count that debt against you, which could ultimately impact your ability to qualify for that house. So sometimes we have to tell people, hey, either you pay this off right now, or this could really kind of destroy your mortgage application right now. So we have to figure this out, right? So that's something I would warn people to stay away from, especially as they go into the home buying process. And look, it is very popular nowadays, Jessica. When you're online and you're trying to buy something, pretty much every company out there, I just saw a TV commercial, and you know, Shaquille O'Neal's like the number one salesperson in the world. Like he's on everything, you know what I mean? And he's literally, there's a TV commercial that Shaquille O'Neal was on for Klarna, which I'm like, man, I know this is a huge thing now because this guy, like, he's on everything. So that's something that I would really warn people to stay away from, especially going into the home buying process.
Okay, that's really good to know. Do you see any, if Klarna and Affirm and these Afterpays and things are affecting it, do you see any kind of effects where someone is using like Cash App or what is it called, Venmo and things? Because I've heard kind of that now that the IRS is getting up to speed on these things, is starting to affect people's taxes as they're sharing money through these systems.
I don't know if those impact. Yeah, for sure. Even for self-employed people, sometimes that's how they receive payments. Mm-hmm. And it becomes a challenge counting that money as income sometimes.
Okay.
Because it's almost like a cash transfer. Sometimes there's no receipt or paper trail other than just a Zelle payment or a Cash App payment going into their bank account. So I would highly recommend entrepreneurs kind of steer away from that if at all possible, because that could probably be deducted from your income and not necessarily counted as income. And if you're relying on that as income to document money for a mortgage transaction, that could be a real challenge for you. So I would recommend trying to stay away from those things if at all possible.
Okay. So something like QuickBooks would probably be better for someone.
Absolutely.
Like that.
Yes.
Okay.
For sure.
Well, I appreciate you coming on our show today. Everyone, make sure that you like and subscribe to our channel. And if you want to be a listing of the week for next week, we do have an opening. You just have to follow and subscribe and then send us your listing. Lance, again, thank you so much. We very much enjoyed talking to you.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jessica. It was great talking with you as well. And anyone who's looking for me, you can find me online, Home Loans with Lance on Google, or you can just call me 972-998-3360. I'll be happy to help you with your home buying journey. All right.